Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Vines Uniting Church. Beautiful day that God's given us, don't you think? Yay.
We're a little early.
We've been concentrating on the goodness of God this morning. When you think about it, how many good things are there that God has given us and changed our lives, all for the better? So we're going to sing this song called Your Lord, Your Goodness, and you need to stand to sing this. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Thank you.
happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus was. When Jesus was. When Jesus was. Wash my sins away, oh happy day, oh happy day, oh happy day. He taught me how.
Song in on YouTube where there's a must be Southern Baptists, all Negro people singing it, and you've got to see them. They're all clapping and swaying. I'd love to see that here. we all know that Jesus came to save mankind. We know that he died on the cross so that it could happen. And that means there's this marvellous opportunity to spend eternity in heaven. And I know the Vines Church is great, but heaven is even better. You know, you and I are closer to heaven than most, I can say that honestly. And this may sound strange, but God is looking forward to meeting us. The Bible says that Jesus made God very happy after his crucifixion and resurrection because of one thing. And that is, the Bible says, Jesus glorified God. Now, what does that mean? In simple terms, it means that God is overjoyed for us to be in heaven as his family. God's glory is made complete by his family. And why? Just because he loves us. And there's this amazing connection in families, whether they're good families or not. Something binds us together. Sue and I, many years ago, went to see a movie called Oranges and Sunshine. Have you ever seen that? It was about 130,000 British children taken away from their parents and sent to Australia in the 50s, 60s and 70s. Not to be adopted, but to be put into dormitories. Now, most had one shirt, one pair of trousers, and one pair of shoes, their whole childhood. Sadly, many were abused, and supposedly in the name of decency, but very sad. Many years later, though, one brave woman took up their cause, felt their pain and anguish, and wanted to help. She asked them, "What do you want?" She asked the children that. And without fail, their answer was, "I want to know who I am. I want to know my mother and my father." She said, "Why do you want to know that after all these years?" Now, some couldn't find the right words except to say there was an emptiness inside. So it was deep. This woman systematically found the lost parents, if they were still alive, and reunited mother, daughter, father, son, etc., etc. Their testimony was they found what was missing. It filled that emptiness inside. And one mother said it completed her. Now, I'm sure the Lord sent his son to this earth to die and rise again to complete us. And in turn, he too is completed with by us. Isn't that just magnificent love? Hallelujah. We're going to sing, please remain seated, we're going to sing the song, "The Heavens Shall Declare." And when we say the glory of God, let's glorify him, shall we?
Heaven shall declare the glory of his name. All creation bows at the coming of the King. Every eye shall see.
Now, believe it or not, I remembered. Remember how many times I forgot? Just first of all, there are two poles of advertising for Pantry 152 out in the foyer. Some on your right, some on your left as you're walking out. And the idea is to try and distribute those anywhere around your home. Even just a few each is good. And this sort of reminds people of the urgency of the emergency ministry that we are, so that people that are really in need they will see that form and they will come and get there. Just got a few things coming up. The Vines, Creative Connections this Thursday morning, as normal. Friday Friends is August the 28th.
This Friday.
Home Loaners is September the 1st, so just after this week. Circle of Friends is 8th of September, and the Men's Dinner Group is on the 16th of September. Was it a good Indian night the other night, mate? Yeah, good food. I'm going to call Adrian to come forward, mate, and give a notice.
Just further to last Wednesday night, we had a bit of an incident where we had dinner and then I got up and left, got half, three quarters of the way home and realised I hadn't paid. Had to turn around and go back, and I paid. So Neville did offer to pay for me and I'll fix him up later, but I said, no, I've got to come back and do it. The joys of getting old. It was my birthday on Thursday and I turned 64, so I'm still the youngest up there, though. My note is next week is Cafe Church, or as I like to call it, Cafe Worship. That doesn't mean we're going to worship a cafe. It means we're going to worship in cafe style. Now, Shelley would like everyone, if possible, next week, when you come in, grab your name tag and then go make yourself a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever it is you like to drink, and then come and choose a table, sit down, start drinking. If you've brought nibbles, please bring some nibbles on your table to share. Eat your nibbles throughout the service. It is a much more relaxed feeling for cafe worship. So please, I like the word worship as opposed to cafe church. Maybe the word cafe church would keep people away thinking it's church, but cafe worship is a bit more relaxed feel. So that's next Sunday morning at 9:30. Thank you.
Thanks, Adrian. Let's welcome back Malcolm. Come back to join us there.
Thanks, Bill. Bill's asked me to share something of what's happened recently on our travels. Before I share that, a number of you regularly ask about our daughter Lynn, and Lynn says, everybody seems to be concerned about me. Look, Lynn's doing very well. After she went back to work, which is a while ago now, she had to drop a shift because it was just too much for her physically, but she's picked up that shift again. Lynn has a bit of a genetic problem. She's inherited a delicate and gets skin cancers like her parents. And so she's had a few of those recently. That complicates things. But Lynn's working today. She's back on the ambulance. And a few of you also ask about that big white woolly dog. When he gets up in the morning and sees Lynn in a green uniform and black boots, he droops his head. Oh. I'm not going to see you for 13 hours. But Lynn's doing very well, and thank you very much for your continued interest and prayers. Something from our travels, just a quick run through. We headed up to the New South Wales Victorian border. We camped at a place called Kahuna, which some of you may know, and we spent some time enjoying the beauty of that area, particularly the old red gum forests. And Judy and I are lovers of the outback and lovers of trees. A lot of the red gums we saw were regrowth, but we saw some of the old ones, you know, with great big gnarled spreading butts. And then we went to visit friends at Mossvale, and as I said to a few of you earlier, we froze at Mossvale, and we hadn't frozen like that since we were last at Mossvale. And then we went up to the New South Wales Central Coast, and we spent a couple of weeks there. Coasts, coastal lakes, coastal rivers, and an hour's driving up into the ranges and waterfalls and gorges. But I want to share with you our visit to Moss Vale. And the reason why we went there was there are a couple of people there who are pretty special to us, and they were both members of our congregation at Aitken Vale in Townsville, which was my last placement before I retired. Warren, the husband, Lenore was the organist and an outstanding organist, might I add, but Warren was a wonderful elder, a very, very pastoral person. He's had strokes in recent years and he's now wheelchair bound, but his mind is still pretty good. And we wanted to go there and see them because when you get into your middle 80s, you know that when you visit another person in their middle 80s and they are a long way away, you don't know when the next visit will be. So we decided that that was important. But I had another very personal reason. I was diagnosed with cancer in 2006. And the treatment that I had, while for most people it goes pretty well, I had a rotten time. I reacted very badly and I had drugs, counteracting drugs, counteracting drugs, and I was a bag of misery. Warren was a special brother, a listener and a pastor to me during that period of time. He gave me outstanding brotherly pastoral care. Now, Warren, as I said, is wheelchair bound and he's had strokes. And while we were talking, I said to him, Warren, I knew he was a great reader. And I said, what are you reading? And he said, well, I don't read novels, which amazed me. I didn't know that. And he said, I read theology. There are a few funny sounds around. He's quite a scholar, quite a theologian. I read theology, philosophy, and poetry. Keats, and all that mob. If you like poetry, Keats, Milton, Shelley. And I'd studied a lot of English and I love poetry too, and I know some of those classic poets. I can't quote quite so well as Warren does. But despite his physical limitations, Warren still has that same beautiful beaming smile. He knows people. He indulges in, becomes involved in lively conversations. And the main reason why Judy and I went there, it was personal for me. I wanted to say to Warren, when I was so ill, you were such an exceptional pastor and spiritual guide to me, and I wanted to say thank you again. I wanted to say thank you. And Warren was quiet for a few moments and he said, I can't remember that. But that really didn't matter because I'd said thank you and Judy had said thank you because she knew what his care meant to both of us. Was it more important that Warren acknowledged our thanks and heard and remembered, or that Judy and I said thank you to a brother in Christ who was an exceptional friend and pastor at a pretty tough time in our lives.
Thanks, Mel.
Good morning, all. Thank you, Malcolm, for that little anecdote. I guess many of us would have similar stories, and they're very precious reminders of what love and care is all about. I invite you now to share with me as we pray. God of grace and God of beauty, on your people pour your power, we pray. Lord God, you are majestic beyond our understanding. The world which you created is full of wonder and amazing beauty. It is ours to marvel and enjoy, and yet it is being ravished by conflict and war, greed, hate, and disrespect for all you have given to humankind. Please help us as your faithful followers to renew our commitment to be active representatives of you in this broken world, to find ways by which we can make a difference. And we pray for those who struggle to make sense of their lives and who desperately need to see some purpose to their being. Hopelessness and helplessness seem to be the words uttered by so many in our communities. For all around us, both on our doorsteps and beyond, are people struggling with life, people who feel abandoned and unloved, people who have nowhere to call home, while others have far more than they need. We pray for the courage to reach out, helping those around us to understand the depth, width, strength, and height of your love, offering hope. Help us, we pray, to represent you effectively in our discordant world. Where there is injustice, may we be courageous to speak out that wrongs might be righted and fairness be seen. Where there is bigotry, may we learn to love as you love and encourage others to love like that also. Where there is poverty, help us to be gracious as we share the wealth that has come from your hand. Where there is anger and violence, help us to be peacemakers that lead others to peace and resolution. Forbid it, Lord, that we be deaf to the cries of the poor or indifferent to those who have needs. May we hear your voice of concern, feel your loving touch, and again, as your people in the world, show by our living the truth of your love, grace, and offer peace. Help us, O God, to become what you have appointed and empowered us to become. Where there is darkness, may we become rays of your sun that banish gloom from lonely lives. Where there is pain, where there is hopelessness and emptiness, may we be like gentle showers that turn barren deserts into green fields. Great God, you are in our world. Your majesty is reflected in your creation. But there are so many people who don't understand this mystery and who are lost because they do not comprehend how much you love all that you have created. And Lord, we pray for all those in leadership across our country and our world in every place. We would pray that they might lead with integrity and consider the needs of those who depend upon them for justice and in many cases for life. Remind them that power, prestige, arrogance and control are not what they should be about. And so the needs in our world are vast and varied, so much to pray for and about. But we thank you, precious Lord, that you know the hearts which are broken. You know what lives are in disarray. You know what dreams are gone. And you care about each and every one. You call us to be your presence in time of need. Please help us to honour your call. Just before we share together the prayer which Jesus gave his disciples, take a moment to lift to God those whom you know personally are facing difficult challenges at this time. God hears even the faintest cry. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks much. Please remain seated as we sing our offering song. And can the offering stewards be ready to bring it forward, please? See these gifts as an offering to use at your will, Lord, to reach out to this community, to for people to know Jesus, really, but then to minister to all their needs, Lord. We pray this church will be a beacon in this area, Lord, through the gifting, through the ministries, and with your blessing. And that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Carlos. Thanks, Ross.
The Bible reading this morning comes from the Gospel to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be reckoned as righteous by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord.
One comment first. You people love Elton, and other people do too. How many of you are aware that Ted takes his little dog, Poppy, into Flinders as well? Yeah. Some of you do. Now Poppy's about a quarter the size of Elton. But as Ted and I go round, people talk to us about other dogs, and they say, oh, I had Remy visit. Remy is a really popular dog. He's a cross between an old English sheepdog and a poodle. So he looks like a little bit bigger poodle, very hairy, and if you pull his fringe apart, you see little poodle eyes underneath. We have wonderful dogs. And so please remember that Ted's a part of this ministry as well, Ted and Poppy, and they do a great job. And we now have almost 20 dogs working in Flinders, 4 at the Repat and 4 at Norlunga. And that's a ministry in which you are involved, in your support and your love. And I think in fairness, I had to say that. Paul says there's no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Jesus. I wonder what the Galatians really heard in those words, considering the world in which they lived. Paul had been in ministry about 15 years, so the scholars tell us. And one of the great questions of the day was, what's the relationship of converts to this new religion and Judaism? And that was a real issue. The Judaizers, as they were called, followed Paul, insisting that converts to Christianity must also obey the Old Testament law and be circumcised, follow all the laws. And Paul's challenge was, salvation is by faith and alone, not by law. It's about grace and freedom and love and hope and reconciliation, the likes of which mankind, womankind, all kinds have never known before. So what did the Galatians feel like, and what might they have said? Well, if the Galatians were Australians, they might have said, I'll leave out a couple of words, you've got to be joking. We're Jews, we're God's chosen. Or they might have said, we're Romans, we're in control. Or they might have said, we're Greeks, we are the cultural hub, we're the intellectuals. Or they might have said, we're Samaritans and you treat us like dirt. Or they might have said, we're Babylonians, we're way out there, but gee, we are terrific. And in that day, people would defend their identity to the death. And that's been a human trait throughout history. And we look around the world today and we see this is still happening. People are demanding that their politics, their culture, their religion or lack of it, their land, their oceans are for them and not for anybody else. In the central coast of New South Wales, Judy and I were walking along a street one day and met a couple about our own age and we got talking. And people were walking past and the man said to us, this town's going to the dogs. It's just brown faces everywhere. And we went into a shop to buy some lunch and we saw, oh, Judy said, oh, there's a chicken shop, but they've got roast pork and crackling. I wonder if we could get some lunch. And a lovely young lady with a brown face came to serve us. And I said to her, and I've made a habit of doing this, I said to her, do you mind telling me about your culture? And she said, yes, I come from Nepal. And I said, oh, I know lots of Nepalese nurses who work in Flinders Medical Centre, where I volunteer. And while she was preparing our meals, we had a wonderful conversation. And the other day, I was in a chemist shop and a lady with a brown face and the shawl tucked in around her served me. And I asked her and I said, I'm interested in what your culture is. It was obvious what her religion was. What's your culture? And she said, I come from Bangladesh. And I said, are you watching the cricket? And her face lit up and she said, yes, we're mad on cricket. And we had a lovely conversation. How often do we avoid conversations with people who are significantly different? They look different, they sound different. Their culture is different. That's obvious. Now, please don't think that I'm in the mood of being a misery guts this morning. You know, Marge is sneaky. She led a prayer that was the summary of my sermon. And I'm not too sure about that. Thanks, Marge. And I met a man. It was a miserable, drizzly day recently. I think he had a few issues, but the conversation went like this. He walked straight up to me and he said, "I'm sick of this pommy weather. This is Australia. We've got to stand up for ourselves." My apologies to the English ladies and gentlemen present. Forgiven. You know, the president of our assembly, Carissa Sulley, is an immigrant descendant, and that of colour. That's a first in our uniting church. She's a daughter of Tongan immigrants, and she is now the appointed leader of the Uniting Church in Australia. And we ought to be proud of that. And if you travel around Australia and you keep your eyes open when you go past a Uniting Church, you might be surprised, especially in the larger cities, how many Uniting Churches have a list and say, "Chinese congregation meets here 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Tongan congregation meets here at 7 o'clock on Sunday. Samoan congregation meets here. Fijian congregation meets here." And it goes on and it goes on. When we lived in North Queensland, we had that because there are so many Pacific people in Queensland. And we should be proud that our church is breaking barriers by including people and saying, "Your colour, your culture, your faith, your skin, your everything is a treasure to us." The president said recently, perhaps one of the prophetic gifts the church can offer Australia right now is not simply to speak about social cohesion, but to become communities where reconciliation can be seen and practiced. And this is what we're called to do. I don't know whether any of you have heard of a Sri Lankan minister. His name was Bubsy Arulampalam. How would you like a name like that? And Bubsy was quite happy to be teased about it. Bubsy and his wife were involved in a church in Darwin when we were in Jabiru. And if you went out to Marama, suburb of Darwin, and you went to the Uniting Church, it was a Sri Lankan, an Asian congregation, and the women turned up to church in their classic dress. It was the most colourful, beautiful, gorgeous congregation. Oh, there were some men there too. Bubsy tells the story, or told the story, when they were in Sri Lanka. Remember, Sri Lanka some years back had a dreadful, long drawn out civil war? A war of culture and power and language and all of that. And Bubsy and his wife were lying down on the floor in the church while bullets went through the walls of the church. And Bubsy turned to his wife and said, "I think God is telling us it's time to migrate to Australia." And he told that story, and we laughed, but we also wept. We also wept When we were working on Christmas Island, I used to take asylum seekers out for a day trip every Thursday, five of them in my car. And one day we were out on a trip and there was a young Sri Lankan man. And he was walking some distance, and I thought, he's a bit, you know, he just doesn't seem to want to be a part of this group. Do you know what I found out? During the war in Sri Lanka, he was a spotter. And he would be out on his own, peering into the forest to see if there were enemies there. And he had said to me at one stage, "Malcolm, what's that bird over there?" Because I used to give them some lessons on bird watching, glorious birds on Christmas Island. And he said, "What's that bird over there?" And I said, "What bird?" He said, "That one over there." "I can't see a bird over there." "There's a bird over there." And I couldn't see it, but he could see it. He could see things in the forest that nobody else could see. And that young man needed the reconciliation of Christian love as much as anybody else that I've ever met. And have you read the news in this last week? The courts in Hong Kong condemning those who've protested for freedom of speech to prison because they are enemies of the state. But if you read a bit of history, read a bit of a summary of the history, you know, Russia's been repeatedly involved in wars for hundreds of years. And what is happening now is nothing new. It's nothing new. But we come, most of us, from a colonising background. And there were so many good things about the process of colonisation, but there was some rotten stuff as well. Let's be honest and let's be gracious. The colonisers imposed their beliefs and their politics and their religion on the people they colonised. You know, there were 12 major colonising countries. Britain was the largest. Remember when we were at school and we had a map and it was covered in red? That was the empire. Maybe I'm older than a lot of you. You've got blank looks on your faces. Yeah. And the colonizers believed in overcoming the rule of those people, subjugating them, destroying their culture, and rarely trying to learn from them. Let's go back to Paul's word to the Galatians. No longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, man or woman, we're all one in Christ Jesus. This isn't to reduce us to a monoculture, which is another one of the debates that we face in Australia now. It says those differences are there. They will always be there, but they don't matter. They don't matter in the sense that they are still our brothers and sisters. When Judy and I ministered in Tanzania for a short time, courtesy of our son and his church in Hong Kong, I said, when I was teaching people, I didn't plan to do this, I just got lumbered with it when I got there. So I'd prepare by candlelight each night for the next day's teaching. And I said one day, "Judy and I feel that you're our family, you're our brothers and sisters." and the place erupted. The church erupted. Bit hard for me to tell you how that felt. And for people to be told by a white face, I forget what the Tanzanian name was, it's a bit derogatory for the for the white face intruders, to say to this congregation of black faces, "You are my brothers, you are my sisters, we are part of your family." And Paul is talking about a faith that draws each one of us in love to each other and to every other person. To every other person. Without social barriers. Every one of us has the same standing and place before God. You know, one of the most repulsive words in this whole debate about immigration and other cultures, etc., coming to Australia? Assimilation. Assimilation is a, this is my explanation, is a dirty word. Because it says, you have to adopt my culture, my language, you have to accept the dominant rules and regulations of my country, my land, and what you were doesn't matter anymore. That's a fairly strong statement, but it's what it is. So it says, Ted, just forget that you're a Dutchman.
Yep.
Just forget that you're a Dutchman. I think I may have told you the story of a Dutch worker. His name was Jan. And he came into a service station when we were on patrol in the territory. And the lady in the service station said to him, "Your name is not Jan, it is Jan. You're in Australia now." Appalling. Assimilation demands that you submit to the new culture and you forget your own. So Paul was not advocating a monoculture. He was advocating Jesus Christ. What was the sin of Christ? He deals with publicans and sinners. He touches sick people, the unclean. What sort of a man is he? The outcasts, the people who beg outside the town walls. What's this about affirming women? You know the Hebrew prayer? I'm glad I'm not a Gentile or a woman. Jesus Christ, who comes with grace and mercy and unconditional love. I didn't know a person. I don't know most of the people I speak to in hospital. And he said, "You know, your dog is probably more like Christ than anyone else I've met in the last week." Why? What's the key word? Unconditional love. Now, she wasn't mocking anybody else, but boy, what a statement. Our faith isn't about law and regulation. It's about freedom. It's about liberty. It's about hope. And it's about standing up on behalf of those who can't do it for themselves. Back to the president, Clarissa Suli. Week after week, People from different languages, cultures, migration stories and experiences gather together. We pray, hear scripture, sing, listen, share meals and come to Christ's table together. We learn one another's stories and discover that difference need not become division. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
I'll just put a reminder out there. I've got a brown face, okay? Do you know what that means? There's a song that speaks about Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Jesus taught us how to be a family. It also says Jesus turned my sorrow into dancing. So if you want to dance during this song, please go ahead. Please stand, everybody.
Goodness me, the old Methodists that I went to church with as a child. You're a mob of rat bags. What was that one?
It's only the Wesleyans.
And the peace of God and the reconciliation of Christ and the hope of love empower you. Go in peace.
Jesus put this song into our hearts. Jesus put this song into our hearts. It's a song of joy.